What a wonderful fitting song that was, wasn't it? Charlie defined every bit of that song right there. The family would like to thank everyone for joining us today as we honor and celebrate and pay our respects to Charles. And what a wonderful, wonderful tribute. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. We have a tradition at our church here at Hinesboro. I always start every service by saying, welcome, family, right? If you're here celebrating Charlie's life, you're part of our family. If you're part of the body of the believers of Jesus Christ, you're part of the family. And I welcome you here as a pastor of this church and call you all family this morning. Welcome. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a place to gather this morning called church. But Lord, we know this is just a building, and in this building are many bodies. And these bodies represent the body of you, your son Jesus, the real church. We're the hands, the feet, the ears, the eyes, the hands, of which people like Charlie were wonderful hands and feet for your son Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't mourn the loss of Charlie. We celebrate the loss today. Because while he's gone from here, he's with you. And Lord, we know that he's no longer suffering. He's no longer in pain. He no longer has worries. He no longer has concerns, except he's in your presence, worshiping and honoring you. Father, we thank you for the wonderful life of Charlie. We've all been touched by him. And there's lots of people, I'm sure, that would love to be here today to be part of this ceremony. But Lord, we just take a moment and just say thank you. Each and every one of us, we say thank you to the family for letting us share Charlie with you, or you're sharing Charlie with us, giving us the opportunity to get to know him and to get to know you. Lord, the mark of a faithful Christian walk is that day when we stand in your presence and you say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I know today you're saying that. Charlie was a great and wonderful servant. He'll be dearly missed here at the church, but Lord, today, just the population of people that are here witnessing this service, our testimony of his life and his hands and his feet, his sharing of his faith, his sharing of his heart, and his sharing of the family. So, Father, as we celebrate Charlie's life today, we ask that you be here amongst us, your spirit guiding us, helping us with the tender moments through the tears, but also, Lord, building on the memories of the wonderful memories we have of Charlie, and take that testimony forward that Charlie was a man of God, a man after your own heart. Well done, good and faithful servant. And all God's people said, amen. Charles Teal Guthridge, 67, of Hinesboro, Illinois, passed away at 3:24 p.m. on Monday, February 3rd, 2020, at St. John's Hospital in Springfield, Illinois. Charles was born on April 19th, 1952, in Tuscola, Illinois. He was a son of Teal Oscar and Mary Ellen Nykirk Guthridge. He married Karen Sue Cook on April 2nd, 1971, in Hinesboro, Illinois. Right here, right, Karen? Charles was in the Army National Guard for 6 years, a fellow veteran. He graduated from Oakland High School in 1970. He graduated from EIU University in 1975 with a bachelor's degree in education with a concentration in industrial arts. By the way, I didn't know that. No wonder he and I got along so well. That's what I teach, so it's wonderful. Charles had worked in the construction trade for Bash and Lambert right out of college and had worked as a plant manager for Thermoglass Gas for several years. He had farmed and helped build houses, including his home and his daughter's home. The house I've lived in for the last 5 years was built by Charlie. There were many days sitting up on the hill over Hinesboro, wondering if the winds were going to blow the roof off, only knowing that Charlie put the nails in that house, and I slept comfortably because of that. He was an HVAC certified technician and a heating and plumbing licensed plumber. He was a member of the Hinesboro Christian Church, where he served as a deacon and elder, a member of the Hinesboro Fire Department for over 40 years, was president of the Board of Trustees for the Hinesboro Fire Department and a member of the Arcola American Legion Post 639, Douglas County Crime Stoppers, Douglas County 4-H Extension, where he served as president. Charles enjoyed deer hunting, amen, spending time with his family, but one of the things that will be remembered most about Charles was that he was selfless and always willing to help anyone in need. If you were ever helped by Charlie, would you raise your hand, please? This is hard. Hold those hands up there a minute. Take a look around. Take a look around. Charlie helped a lot of people, didn't he? And he was always willing to help others. He is survived by his wife Karen of Hinesboro, two daughters, Ellen Mathias and her husband Jeff of Arcola, Katie McConnell and her husband Dylan of Hinesboro, three grandchildren, Josh Mathias, Kimmy and Allison McConnell, one brother, Paul Guthridge, and his wife, Sharon, of Hinesboro, one sister, Betty Dieters, and her husband, Jerry, of Montrose, and one sister-in-law, Nancy Guthridge, of Arthur, Illinois. He's preceded in death by his parents, one son, Michael Guthridge, one granddaughter, Emily Mathias, and one brother, Jim Guthridge. That's the obituary. And we're going to hear some more about Charlie today. But at this point, I'd like to ask Betty to come forward. She has some things she'd like to say also.
Okay, if there's anybody here who doesn't know me, I'm Charles's little sister. Okay? And Charlie, you and I always bicker together. You'd be happy to know how many people are here. And you, if anybody knows Charlie, you know he'd probably go, thanks for coming, but didn't even make a fuss. Okay, I have three wonderful brothers, but Charles and I had a special bond. As the story goes, I was brought home from the hospital on Charles's third birthday. Mom told him I was his birthday present, and it was his job to protect me, which he did throughout my life. Who is Charles Teal Guthridge? The word magnificent comes from the old French word meaning doing great deeds, also very good and excellent. These words perfectly describe Charlie. He was a magnificent husband, father, grandfather, brother, and friend. Try to keep it together. Charles could be described as a gentle giant, never a bad word to say about anybody, always thinking of others before himself. I remember a story when a past minister wasn't really visiting his parishioners and not following up on his duties. For some reason, the minister's wife blamed Charles and really chewed him out. In typical Charles fashion, he stood there and let her rant and rave and say whatever she wanted and not say anything in return. When asked why he didn't correct her, he said, "This minister has to go home to her, and it wasn't my place to tell her anything different." How many people do you know would have done that, would not have stood up for themselves? That was Charles. How many of you have had Charles help you and not want anything in return? He had a heart of gold. He would help a stranger without even thinking. How many of you stated last night he was a great part of the community and there's going to be a great home? It didn't really matter if a person called him in the middle of the night, a snowstorm, weekend, whatever. Charles was glad to help, and that made him special. Charles was the kind of person we should emulate to make the world a better place. Think of others, be grateful to help, and don't expect anything in return. We are here to celebrate the last leg of his journey. We're going to be sad for ourselves because we will miss him, but happy. And now he can run with Emily and Michael, enjoy all of his family and friends who made it there before him. Sorry. I know he's waiting to greet each of us when we get there. I can see him now. He's going to give you a wonderful hug, give him that sheepish little grin, lean over and tell you. Where's your stand up a minute? He's going to lean over. I'm going to do it here by the mic. You know, Emily doesn't need a wheelchair anymore. And since she's gotten here, she's been chasing Michael around the whole time. You're the newbie. You're our next target. Until we meet in heaven, if I was a cowboy, I'd tip my hat and say, you're a magnificent man. Thank you.
Thank you, Betty. We have another song that we'd love to play. The photos are just touching, and it just kind of connects with the music. So, Jacob, why don't you bring the next one up, please?
Life is like a mountain railway with its engineer that's free. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curve. Never falter, never quail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, that will guide us. Spanning Jordan's swelling tide, you'll behold the Union Depot into which your train will glide. Now there you'll meet the superintendent. Father and the Son with a hearty welcome stranger, weary pilgrim, welcome home. Blessed Savior, that will guide us.
Hard hearing those words and not wanting Charlie to get up and sing right along with those words. I can hear his voice. Like it just fits so well. Well, I have some questions for you this morning, and I'm sure many of you do as well. Why did Charlie have to die? Why now? Did he do something wrong? Did he cross some line that didn't make sense? No. I remember growing up just a few years ago when I was a young man. Many years ago when I was a young man. Yes. Just a few years ago. I remember in a class, I don't remember the teacher's name, I don't even remember what the class was, But I remember the discussion afterwards about the question, and the question was this: if you could live forever, what would you do? And what would you do differently? You see, that was a time when I grew up in the 70s when we put a man on the moon. When we fought some of the greatest battles in the world, and we felt pretty invincible. We felt we had a big S on our chests. And there was a time at that point where science was heading, it was like on a rocket, literally and figuratively, that things were, we could solve anything. I remember on Life magazine, the cover where they showed the first artificial heart and how that was going to make a difference in people's lives. The breakthroughs were incredible. I don't remember the class, I don't remember the teacher, but I remember the question because I remember at that age in my life when I got asked that question, I was thinking only about myself. I could go to more Tiger baseball games. I could go to more Detroit Lions. Well, wait a minute, I don't think I want to do that one. We could go see more hockey games. We could make more money, go visit, go do a lot of things. It was about me. But as I've gotten older and as wiser and more mature, again, just a few years, I've realized there's more to life than about me. And as a pastor, as a teacher, I've learned that life is full of circumstances and opportunities to meet people like Charlie that teach me life lessons that are far greater than anything I ever learned in the classroom, anything far greater than what science could ever teach me. And the Bible has a lot to say about death and life. One of my favorite stories of all times is the story of Lazarus. And we're going to read from the book of John where Jesus talks about Lazarus. It's in the book of John, chapter 11. In your pews in front of you, if you'd like to follow along, you can. It's going to be in chapter 11, verse 1, but I'll read it out loud. This story gives us seven truths about death. Truths, significant things that you need to know, things that you can take here from today and share with others. Because there's people sitting right now in this room that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And one of the things Charlie would care about is that you know Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him, he would tell you all about Jesus Christ. So I'm here to tell you, because I'm here honoring Charlie, I'm going to tell you about Jesus Christ. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who we find out later poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet on her with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." See, here's truth number one. Mary and Martha were reacting normally to their brother being sick. When we got the word that Charlie was having issues and health concerns, the word went out. We had our prayer line kicked on and text messages were flying, phone calls going back and forth, and we were praying with you guys every day and every moment that we could. You see, this is normal when somebody that we love is sick, to have pain, to have grieving, to have fear and concerns. And Mary and Martha were reacting normally, as any human being would do for a loved one. Verse 4, when he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea. Now wait a minute. Here's Mary and Martha sending word to Jesus, "Your friend Lazarus is sick." Our impulse would be to run, to go. In fact, I remember visiting at the hospital, praying with Charlie before he faced his surgery, taking communion to him, doing this in remembrance of God. But what did Jesus do? He didn't run. He spent 2 more days waiting. Here's the second truth. This is God's timing, not ours. I would want Jesus there now. I would want Jesus there performing the miracles now. But Jesus said, "No, it's not about Lazarus. He's not even going to die. It's my time. It's okay." Verse 8, "But Rabbi," they said, A short while ago, the Jews there had tried to stone you, and yet you're going back? He had had a run-in with some of the Jews in Judea, and they knew that if they showed their faces around there, they'd be in trouble. But Jesus didn't matter. He was going to go see a friend. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble. For they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." That's truth number three. Jesus was so assured of who he was and what he was going to do according to his Father's will. He took the time that he needed, he did the things that he needed, and he said very clearly, "I'm going there to wake him up." You see, truth number three is, this is God's plan, not yours, not mine. You can't be good enough. You can't be bad enough. You can't do all the right things you can think of. It's God's plan. That's the third truth. And he is in control of life. Verse 12, his disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." See, that's human thinking. Just give him, let him rest a little bit longer. Give him some medicine. Give him something. He'll be okay. But Jesus had been speaking about his death. But his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, a doubting Thomas, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." I know there's been times when I lost my mom, I lost my sister, I lost a brother. I wanted to die as well. Felt that way? Why? You ask that question, why did this happen? And I would gladly say, I'd give my life so that this person could live some more. Can I just have a couple more hours? Can I just have a couple more days? Verse 17, upon his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Let me tell you, I've walked this area before when I was in Israel, and there's nothing. 2 miles sounds like nothing. We have kids in here that are runners and sports people, and 2 miles, you got runners? I know you guys have been running a lot. 2 miles in this area is not a pleasant 2 miles. Many walking downhill, a lot of desert, a lot of critters. It's not a safe walk. It's not a fun walk. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Traditionally, in the Jewish families and the Jewish households, they would bring mourners, professional mourners, to come in and mourn the loss. There's a difference, of course. You're not professional mourners. You're just human beings like you and me. We're here because we love Charlie, we love the family, and we're grieving the loss of Charlie. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here," do you hear what she said? "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." When my sister was dying of cancer and I visited her for the last time, I remember doing that bargaining thing. What do I got to do? What do I got to give? How much do I have to pray? How much more of the Bible do I got to read? How many more classes do I have to take? What do I got to do so that she can live longer? But also in her voice, did you hear it? The accusation. "Jesus, if you had only been here." Like, she's going, "Jesus, don't you have anything more important to do than to be here?" Have you ever felt when you prayed, you've asked Jesus for something, and he doesn't show up, you go, "What are you doing that's more important than what I've got right now? What's more important than to help Charlie get through a surgery? What's more important to heal him in a way so he comes back to us? Jesus, you're not listening." And yet there are times us here today, we do the same thing. Jesus knew what was going on, people. He knew what was going on. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, he cuts right to the quick, "Your brother will rise again." She just accused Jesus of not being there, and he turns it right back around and says, "Your brother's going to rise again." What? Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She knew her Bible. She knew her religion. She knew what she had been taught. And of course, in our end days, we will all rise again. Charlie will physically rise again, though we know his spirit is now with the Lord. Being absent from the body, you're in the presence of the Lord. We know that. When Jesus comes again, his body will be resurrected. We know that. That's what she knew. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. He had a surprise. Jesus said to her, listen to this. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live. Even though they die, and whoever lives by believing me will never die. Do you believe this? So that's truth number five. And it's this. Our life is in Jesus. Our life is in Jesus. Our life is not here in this world. Our world is going to collapse. It's going to end. What we know as our world today will end. But Jesus said, if you live in me, you will have life. Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of the God who has come into this world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him, outside the town. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Do you hear that tone again? When Charlie made it through surgery, came home, and then something happened. We don't know. Something just wasn't right. Jesus, if you were here, you could heal him. I never once heard that from the family. I never once heard that from anybody who was around Charlie saying, Jesus, why are you not here? Because they knew Jesus was here. But we get caught up in our pain and our grieving and our suffering and our loss that we forget that Jesus is with us. I will neither leave you nor forsake you is what the word says. When the Jews who had been with Mary noticed this, they ran out to be with her. You see, when you're around Jesus and you're doing this kind of stuff, the town is noticing what's going on. You can't drive by Hinesboro Christian Church right now without seeing these guys out here with their rig out front. And when we leave here, we're going to be making some noise. I hope. Let's light them up. That's what Charlie would want. And if you've been through the 4th of July parade where Charlie's wearing his hat and the veterans get on the back of the ride and we go cruising through town, he's waving at everybody. Everybody will know Charlie's on his way home. Jesus was here. That's what they thought. They go, I got to be there. I got to go be with Jesus. But that tone is there. That tone is there. And even as a pastor, I got to admit there's times when I was dealing with my sister's loss, I was in the same place. Jesus, if only you showed up. Jesus, Jesus. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, they replied. And the shortest verse in the Bible, the most powerful verse in the Bible, the one that touches my heart right now, is Jesus wept. You see, that's truth number six. God knows our pain. Karen, he knows your pain. Family, he knows your pain. He knows your pain. It's not lost on him. He's been where you've been. Gentlemen, you've lost a comrade, a buddy, somebody you go flying down the street and on the back of the truck. Jesus wept. It's okay to weep. It's okay to let the tears flow. If it's good for Jesus, it's good for us. Let them flow, people. 36. Then the Jew said, see how he loved him? You see, we don't have to say anything else. We don't even have to have the lights and the flashers and the sirens going. What they got to see is our tears. And sometimes I think we need to let our tears out a little bit more than we do. Because we're human. We hurt. We're suffering right now. We're grieving. See how he loved them. Verse 37, but some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have not kept this man from dying? You see, the world is full of doubt. The world is looking for examples of hope. They're looking for examples of truth. And when we cry and when we grieve and we say, Charlie, well done, good and faithful servant, we'll be there with you one day. We're sharing the greatest truths in the world to the world that has no hope. You see, that question I asked you earlier that I was asked, sometimes the world gets a little bit big on itself. We can make mechanical hearts. We can solve diseases. We can put men on the moon. Look at us. But don't you know that none of that stuff would have happened if God hadn't let it happen? If God hadn't given us the insight, he hadn't given us the knowledge? I have no problem debating my scientific brothers in the hard sciences because they're mutually together. God was the original scientist, I'm sorry to say this. Adam and Eve named all the animals and the plants. Biology, 101. God knows our pain. And that right there, I could stop right there. Because he knows me that way. He knows what I'm dealing with. He knows what you're dealing with. That pain that just seems to be wrenching and comes back. And one of the greatest questions I get asked is, will it ever go away? And if any of you have ever lost a dear loved one, you know that pain, that hole, it can diminish. It can lessen. Some of you lost dear loved ones unexpectedly, totally without surprise. Some of us have lost loved ones, like my sister, where through cancer, we knew it was inevitable. But you're never ready. You're never ready for that loss. You're never ready to say goodbye. That's not our natural instinct. We want to reach out and grab and hold on and fingernails dragging in the concrete, say, stay with us. But Jesus knew our pain. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he had been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you have always heard me, but I said this for the benefit of those that are listening, that they may believe that you sent me. Verse 43, when he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen, and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And that's truth number 7. You see, with Jesus, there is no death. We might physically die. Of course, everybody in this room, anyone who's ever been born has died. Anyone yet to be born will die. Science will never fix that. Because the reality of our world is ever since the original sin in the Garden of Eden, death is part of life. I've heard it best said this by another pastor, and I just preached this last week. So, not surprising, it was just weird how God put that in my heart. Death is a form of grace. You see, do you really want to stay in this world? Really? Think about it just for a moment. Go a little bit deeper than just the surface. Do you like to stay in the pain? Do you like to stay in the risk of war? Do you like to stay in the risk of famine? Do you like to have the fighting, the just the nastiness of life? It is a great place. I tell my congregation always, I didn't even know Hinesboro existed 6 years ago. But you know what I know about this town? It's a wonderful place. And I can't imagine not living here because it's the people. But I've learned that about anywhere I've gone. It's the people. Everything that I own can come and go. In fact, it says in the Bible, it's like hay and stubble. It'll burn up. It'll be gone. What do you have that will last forever? What do you have that will pass through that curtain from life, death to life, back to life with Jesus? For all of us, it's the relationship that we have with Jesus. And that's what he was trying to prove. I can do this death thing, it's nothing. He dealt with some pretty major problems. Lazarus' death was not an issue. But the question for all of you today is, do you have Jesus in your life? There's really an eighth truth, and I wasn't sure about how to put this in here, but here's what I want to ask you. Here's Lazarus in the grave with a stone in front of it, all wrapped up. They put all that stinky stuff on him to keep him from the odors. Potpourri, I think, is that what they call it? Wrapped up in a cave. Critters are probably coming by, smelling up all kinds of things. And what's the first thing he heard in his death? His friend's voice, Jesus. You see, here's where I want to land this right now. If you don't know Jesus and you die, who do you want to hear? If you don't have Jesus, you're not going to hear anybody. If you have Jesus, just like Charlie did, when he passed from death, life to death, back to life again, wouldn't you want to hear your friend's voice? Come out of that grave. What are you worried about? What are you afraid of? Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Do you know Jesus? Is Jesus your friend? Is Jesus the center of your life like it was for Charlie and for his family? Charlie was a wonderful man. He was a great man. He had a lot of knowledge and a lot of skills and a willingness to help anybody that needed help. But you know why? Because he had Jesus. That's what made him different. I know a lot of nice people in this world. I know a lot of wonderful people. I know a lot of smart people. I know a lot of rich people. But none of that's going to get you to heaven. None of that's going to get you that voice that says, well done, good and faithful servant, unless you know Jesus. Death is a grace that separates us from this place, which is not our eternity. This is not God's best for us. This is not God's best for any of you. God's best is to be with him for eternity. Death is a grace that takes us out of this sinful place into a place in his presence. I love the story of Lazarus. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. Today, we celebrate and honor Charlie's life. The casket is open. Many of you get the last glimpses of seeing the physical Charlie. But when we go to the graveside shortly, we've got to take the grave clothes off and let him go. Tonight will be a lonely night for the family, for many of you, with memories, wonderful memories of Charlie helping you out, giving a hand, giving you words of encouragement, saying hello. God bless you. Can I pray for you? The physical stuff is done. Those wonderful memories, that's not the grave cloths. That's having Jesus in your heart. That's having Jesus in his heart. And that's the testimony of Charlie's life here today. Let us pray. Father, I almost feel inadequate as a man to be able to stand here next to Charlie and say words of kindness and grace and words of encouragement for the family. Because in many cases, there's not words that adequately describe that. But Lord, I know some things about Charlie. He was the first guy that I walked to with my resume when I said, hey, I'm just in this place, Hinesboro, and I understand you're looking for a pastor. And Charlie said, oh, yeah? You know, that little voice that Betty was talking about. And Charlie said, well, let me look this over and I'll get back to you. Well, right now, Charlie's looking over everything. And he's in the presence of the Lord. That promise of our faith is so important to all of us. You see, Jesus came out of the tomb himself, and he overcame death. The sting of death is gone. It's nothing that any of us have to worry about. Sure, I don't look longingly to the process of death, even if it's instantaneous. And I'm going to mourn the loss of my loved ones. But being in your presence is a far greater reward. And that ought to be what we're all striving for. Not here on earth, but eternity with you. Father, if there's anyone sitting here right now that does not know Jesus, your Son, as their Lord and Savior, I pray right now that they just stop. I don't want them leaving here today, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know if it's today, it's in an hour, it's a week, it's a month. Some of us are already in the process of dying, dealing with health issues. Don't wait, people. All you got to do is this. Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I accept you in my heart right now. I want you, Jesus, in my life. If any of you said that, God bless you. If any of you put those words of conviction from your heart to your mouth to your mind, I pray for you and I'd love to talk with you more. But Father, while our heads are bowed, we pray especially for the family now. Again, as the night closes around us, the memories come, the loss comes, the grieving becomes difficult. But Lord, my favorite verse of all, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is the words of encouragement that are on my heart to give to the family tonight. And for all of us that are listening here, that are here, that are grieving Charlie's loss, please know that God's with you. Even if you don't have a relationship with him, he's with you because he loved you first. Father, we thank you for this wonderful celebration of Charlie's life. We thank you for the love for his family. We thank you for the wonderful friends that are here honoring and celebrating Charlie's life. And it's with honor and glory and praise that we say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. We have another song that we'd love to play. It's a touching song. And when it finishes, I'm going to stand back up and we'll talk about some closing business. But please listen to the words. It's pretty powerful. Bless you.
was soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hands.
As we close our services here this morning, the next step is real simple. We're going to go graveside. Jeff is going to lead us out from the back forward. Have a chance to say your condolences to the family, pass by and say goodbye to Charlie. Some of us, if you wish, can travel with us and follow behind the fire truck leading us out of town. Thank you, gentlemen. To the burial, graveside. And we'll have a short service there. It's a little bit cold and snowy, but Jeff is taking care of us as they always do very well. So thank you, Jeff. On behalf of the family, thank you for all your work. Some of you, if you'd rather not, you can go right to the Civic Center where our church is hosting a wonderful meal that's been shared and helped by a lot of people and a lot of hands. And the family's inviting you to come there, be part of that. So, graveside or Civic Center, either one, whatever you feel ready for. It's gonna be a little bit snowy out there, so if you're having issues walking, probably might be better to go to Civic Center, but that's up to you. We'll form up, the fire truck will lead us out, and we'll just follow with our headlights on to the graveside, and then we'll gather there for the closing service. Okay? Jeff, why don't you go ahead and close us? Let's bow our heads as I close with a final word. Father, thank you for this portion of the service where we have honored and celebrated Charlie's life. And as we leave here today, Lord, I pray that anybody who needed to hear that question and that ask, listen to the challenge and hear God's knocking on their door. Father, be with us safely as we travel now to the next places. Father, we pray for safety on the trip to the graveside. We pray for safety for those going to the Civic Center. Thank you for the food that we're going to be receiving and the wonderful hands that help make it. Lord, we're just in awe of you. It's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Jeff?